Broadcasting.
Thank you. Welcome, everyone. I will call the Senate Finance and Revenue Committee to order today, and we will start out by calling the roll.
Senator Findley.
Senator Findley, present by video.
Senator Riley.
Present by video.
Senator Wagner.
Present by video.
Vice Chair Boquist. Madam Chair Burdick.
Present by video. Senator Boquist is having some connection problems today. So I think he is here. I saw him here before, but I'm sure he will be dialing back in.
Noted, thank you.
Okay, so now our one item today is Senate Bill 15. And so I will open a public hearing on Senate Bill 15.
Thank you, Chair, members of the committee. This is Jamie McGovern for the Legislative Revenue Office. And pardon me. Senate Bill 15 provides for additional exemption against the Oregon estate tax, and it phases out the availability of that exemption based on the size of the estate. It applies to estates of decedents who die on or after January 1st, 2022. And takes effect 91st day after signee die. And in the staff measure summary, I included the current, in the background section, I included the current schedule for the Oregon estate tax. And essentially this would be a modification or an update to that. And that's what I have.
Okay, we will start out by our very own Senator Findley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Madam Chair, Vice Chair Boquist, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Lynn Findley. I serve as a state senator for Senate District 30, proudly serving 11 counties in Eastern Oregon and Central Oregon, 36% of the total land mass. I'm here today to ask you for your support in Senate Bill 15. For too long, the Oregon estate tax has needed reform. In context of a wider America, 38 states do not have an estate or an inheritance tax, and 18 of the states that have a state law concerning taxing of the estate, Oregon and Massachusetts have the lowest exemption rates at $1 million. Our neighbors, California, Nevada, and Idaho, all of which touch my district, do not have an estate tax. It doesn't make much thinking to figure out why people in my district will simply move out of state to avoid lofty taxes we would levy from them to a warmer climate. The 2021-2023 tax expenditure report published by the Oregon Office of Economic Analysis predicts Oregon is on track to reach up to $381 million this biennium. They also stated that the majority of the total revenue of the estate tax comes from a small number of larger estates which would not seek benefit or would not receive benefit under the provisions of this bill. What I'm proposing is an estate tax reform that will keep Oregon citizens in the state of Oregon. In short, the bill does not abolish the estate tax. It makes it more reasonable. The state exemption will be raised to $2.5 million for individuals whose estates are valued less than $4.5 million. The bill then adjusts the exemption based on the estate value until the estate value reaches $9.5 million, where the exemption will return to the original $1 million. Oregon's $1 million exemption has been in place for far too long. It ignores inflation and the large increase in the value of properties that has occurred since the adoption of the Oregon estate tax. I think I heard the other day the most average value of homes in Portland area is $700,000. Doesn't take long with a couple of 401s and your estate is well over $1 million. Far too long, I've heard that people of Oregon is one of the best, say that Oregon is one of the best places to live, but one of the worst places to die in. We are losing an immense amount of income tax from these people who are choosing to leave the state, and by no decision other than to avoid having to pass down to their family heirs when they die. You will hear from a CPA, Mr. Doug Lamb, who's here to talk. You'll hear from Ms. Shauna Peterson, an estate planning attorney, and Mr. Paul Skeen, who's the Malheur County Onion Growers President and has been for the last 20 years. They live along the Idaho border. They see their neighbors and families moving across the river to avoid paying these taxes. Make no mistake, this isn't an issue isolated to Eastern Oregon. I have talked with a number of my colleagues from the Portland area who have been advised to move to Washington because their estate tax exemption is over double the exemption in Oregon. I urge you to support Senate Bill 15 because it is in a reasonable reform that greatly affects all of our constituents and keeps Oregonians in the state of Oregon. As I said, Madam Chair, Mr. Doug Lamb is the principal of Nichols Accounting Group in Ontario, and they have offices in Idaho as well. Shauna Peterson is a renowned estate planning attorney, and Mr. Skeen, I would now be happy to answer any questions, or I'll be happy to turn it over to them because they know a lot more about this than I do.
Thank you. Are there questions of Senator Finley before we start with the panel? Okay, I see no hands raised, so we will take those witnesses in order, starting with Mr. Lamb, Doug Lamb. Welcome.
Thank you, Chair Burdick, and thank you, Senator Finley, and the staff, and the Senate Finance Committee members and their staff. It's been pleasant to work with you folks, and your staff are rock stars. They do a great job for you. As a short introduction, my name is Doug Lamb. I'm a CPA in my 40 some years of practicing here, and I'm the senior principal in our firm of 3 offices and roughly 60 employees. Our service area is a large geographical area, and you'd expect that being out here in Eastern Oregon and in the Treasure Valley of Idaho. And I actually live in Idaho. I never moved to Ontario when I moved to this area. I always had been an Idaho resident. I decided to stay that. I'm fairly thankful that I did in the business that I am in. In my daily life, I live in the advisory and planning space within our firm, which means that I interact daily with clients and other professionals on issues related to business growth and tax and future estate planning. And so I would like to make sure that, okay, let's just go to the next slide. I just wanted to make sure I was watching which slides we were at. The community of Ontario, just so you understand the demographics, we serve about 80,000 people from this little tiny area of about 10,000. And it's because everybody comes here as a hub. But unfortunately, over the past 15 years, we've just seen this steady decline in the vibrancy of our business sector and the residential community, and the impact it's had on the city and county and the school districts has been quite substantial. The primary reason, at least in my opinion, behind this decline has been the existence of the Oregon Inheritance and Estate Tax, with Idaho being just, 2 miles across the river, or in some cases, like in Paul's case, 800 feet. My testimony in favor of SB 15 and Senate Bill 15 will provide you, I want to try to give you 3 life examples from our client base. They represent probably less than 3% of our clients that have made this move from Oregon to Idaho. It's been this way for some time, and our clients have continued to see the value of having to move because of the estate tax. The interesting thing is people will move for estate tax, but what you're going to see is that they're winning in the income tax, and that was never a factor for them to consider. And the income tax that's lost every year by the state of Oregon is a statistic that isn't measured in any of your math in trying to determine how this thing plays out. So, and the final piece of this, not only are you losing the estate tax because those people have left, but the demographics have changed significantly in Ontario. You take all the folks of wealth and have them leave an area, and it really has a severe impact on the demographics of your town. Next slide, please. So I'm going to give you my first example, and this, like I said, these are real life examples out of our clients. This is a couple that were career Oregon teachers in the local school districts. They're staunch Oregon supporters. They bleed green. And the state of Oregon funds their retirement income, but because they moved to Idaho because of the size of their estate, the state of Oregon is getting nothing from them on their income tax. And the state of Idaho is more than happy to take that money, but the client sleeps better at night knowing that they don't have this future estate tax, and the hidden benefit to them was they're saving about $197,000 in just income taxes over the next 20 years in what Oregon has lost. They're saving about $4,000 a year for themselves in the trade-off between Idaho and Oregon's rates. And so that's a windfall to them and not something they had anticipated. And it was not the reason for moving. The reason for moving was 100% related to the estate tax. And for them, they still go to the same coffee shops, they go to the same church, they shop in the same places. Nothing has changed except for where they reside. Next slide, please. Oh, let me back up one more thing there. The Oregon estate tax that would have been lost, you know, because they lost, that they moved, is about $150,000. And under this proposal, these folks are the people that we're aiming at, that Lynn is trying to benefit, because these folks will have no estate tax under this provision, and that might have kept them here. In fact, in this case, I'm sure it would have kept them there in Oregon, and then Oregon would have gained that income tax it's losing. Next slide, please. Now we're getting into a little higher level of income and estate value. This is an example of a retired widow that's moved from Oregon into Idaho. And if you look at her facts, you know, Oregon's losing about $280,000 of income tax on her over the 20-year period, you know, estimated 20-year period that she would be living. And her estate tax, you know, under the original Oregon estate tax that she's got right now is about $540,000. Under this proposal, it would be $436,000 or even less, depending on how we were to calculate things. So it saves some estate tax for her if she was still a resident, but the state would gain all that income tax that's lost. And we're seeing more and more people of a senior level moving, and it's, you know, I feel bad. It's difficult to move. It's even more difficult when you're leaving your lifelong home. Next slide, please, which is a young professional couple. Real life example again, professionals making some serious coin. And you can see that their savings in income tax a year is over $27,000. And Oregon has lost all of their future estate tax, and they're losing all of that income tax that they would have had over a 20-year period. So again, these folks are not benefiting from this tax law change, this proposed change in the estate at all. If they were still Oregon residents, it wouldn't have saved them a thing. So the arguments that this is only going to impact the wealthy is incorrect, at least in my perspective, because I don't view someone that's got a home that's gone up in value and has saved through their retirement that might have over $1 million to be really wealthy in today's terms. In the past, it might have been, but not any longer. So the last slide, my suggestions are, number one, we have a way to help you. You know, this is a way to help us reduce the loss of income tax from the state of Oregon. I'm not sure it's going to stop the loss, because people of wealth will still continue to move, but this may stop the leaving of people that are not as wealthy, and they still would be paying income tax. It'll stop the loss of the future estate tax on some of those people that are willing to go ahead and pay that number that's left. And the biggest thing to me is it would help stop the erosion that we're seeing in the fabric of our communities. And that is the saddest thing that I see when I drive across the bridge every day from Idaho into Ontario, is to see the change that's happened, and the change in the downtown, and the change in the Chamber of Commerce, and just how things have changed in the community. It's been difficult to watch. So I'd stand for any questions if anybody has any. Appreciate your opportunity to let me speak today.
Thank you. I think we'll wait till the panel is completed, and then we'll direct questions to all three of you. So next we'll take Shauna Peterson.
Am I up?
You're up.
testing. Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. It's a privilege to be here today testifying in support of Senate Bill 15. Senator Finley was flattering, and for the record, I'll reiterate, my name is Shauna Peterson. I live in Ontario, Oregon. Despite the fact that most of our peers and friends do choose to live in Idaho, as Mr. Lamb accurately depicted, I have worked in Ontario, Oregon as an estate planning attorney for 17 years now. I've also served as the former chair and the current executive director of the Eastern Oregon Border Economic Development Board, although I'm testifying today as a private citizen and based on my experience as a citizen of Oregon and a resident of Ontario and an estate planning attorney. As you know, Ontario sits on the far eastern border of our great state. Booming Idaho is literally a stone's throw away. I'm licensed to practice in both Idaho and Oregon, like most professionals in border towns are. So I have a pretty good grip and a pulse on the state of affairs as concerns the estate tax and impact between Oregon and the various states that neighbor us, and in particular, Idaho. As you likely know, Idaho's estate tax scheme is significantly more generous. We're pushing $23 million before an estate tax is imposed there, whereas Oregon's $1 million per person currently, and it has been virtually the entirety of my career. Because the other testifiers, and including Senator Finley, have outlined for you the numbers surrounding Senate Bill 15, I just want to echo that, but not dominate the time I have with you regurgitating that. I implore you to look at the numbers. Doug's math is correct, and it matches my experience. The current estate tax scheme really is outdated. It is punitive, it's short-sighted, and it's unproductive. I will share with the committee certainly the many, many tales from the trenches that I have, having done this for as long as I have and focusing my practice on that area. And sadly, my experience mirrors what Senator Finley outlined and what Mr. Lamb described, and that is that it's pretty easy for our clients to just move to Idaho. But my experience, because I have clients stretching from Bend to Boise, I have a lot that have established residents in Arizona or other places where they really were faced with the situation of leaving their life in Oregon, not just moving 3 miles away like some of the Ontarians can do. I do ask, look at those numbers, they're rock solid, they mimic my experience, and I've got many more like the three case studies Doug outlined. But rather than belabor those points or talk numbers, I wanted to look at this through some other lenses. First, I am gravely concerned about the devastating social poverty that I believe is an unattended but very real consequence of Oregon's current estate tax scheme. And then I want to ask, without disparaging our great state employees or the structures in place, but I want to ask, are these dollars really needed? And more so, are they well spent? Because I unfortunately have experience that I don't believe they consistently are. First, as to social poverty, Doug touched on this, but it really is a misnomer that $1 million exemption means that the Oregon estate tax scheme affects only the very rich. My clients are not very rich. They are not the elitists that opponents of Senate Bill 15 would have you believe the Oregon estate tax targets. My clients are farmers and ranchers, most of whom are very land rich, cash poor. The natural resource credit goes some ways to address that, and I'm proud to have been able to deal with that for the last many years since it was passed. But there's no similar exemption for small business owners or the teachers that I represent or former public employees. I also represent a number of rural healthcare providers. My husband's a dentist here in town, and you throw some insurance, some retirement, or maybe even an inheritance that you realize yourself. And we have a major problem with estates and depreciating properties getting put into this category that, again, is a misnomer to elude is a problem for the wealthy. Instead, I would argue in my community and in communities across Oregon, that these people being pushed out of our state or punished financially are the backbone of our communities. These wealthy Americans or wealthy Oregonians, quote unquote, move out of state and they take their talents and their time with them. Vacancies and uncontested elections are the norm rather than the exception in communities across Eastern Oregon, on school boards, on public elected boards. Civic organizations in our region were languishing long before the COVID pandemic stopped, their weekly lunch meetings or different social gatherings. And I truly fear that those have been lost forever because we have a void of leadership and a void of engagement. I'm following closely as a parent of three young children, the move to mandate civics education in our educational system. I am a big believer in public participation in the government process. I enjoy the opportunity and believe it's our obligation, but I do worry that simply teaching it isn't going to be enough, and that if we are gutting our communities of mentors and people to serve in that capacity, that this new generation of an involved citizenry is going to fail if it's simply based on some classroom lectures. And that's certainly what we're experiencing in the border region where I live. And I think that's in a common experience based on conversations with friends across the state. I also want to note for you, again, I'm here as a private citizen, but my experience on the border board has been quite telling. We have done and continue to do some amazing work with the voice that we've been empowered by this legislature and the money entrusted to us. But I do call your attention to the fact that two of the seven governor-appointed members of our board choose to live in Idaho. We can't even fill a Eastern Oregon Border Economic Development Board with Oregonians. They are personal friends and wonderful contributors to the board. But two of the seven board members live 5 miles away in Fruitland, Idaho, where things are a little different. The estate tax is a common denominator among many who choose to live. Doug illustrated the income tax disparity, but again, I do reiterate his experience that the estate tax is a big driver. People see that the numbers are pretty big. It feels pretty punitive because most of that has already been taxed, and that has been kind of the knee-jerk modus for moving versus, oh, I could save a little on my property tax, or I could save a little on my income tax. Again, I think Senator Findley addressed this, but I do see this playing out across Oregon. It's not simply a border situation. My clients in Bend in Southern Oregon, I have ranch families that are spread throughout Southern and Eastern Oregon, and this is a common conversation that we have. It's consistent and pervasive in the conversations. I may as well be looking in the mirror when I talk to some fellow estate planners and CPAs across the state. So I definitely encourage you to think very, very carefully about the unintended consequence of the current Oregon estate tax scheme. I think it's time for a right sizing. Senate Bill 15 does not abolish the Oregon estate tax. The numbers are carefully crafted. The revenue stream is not dried up, but it would save what I'm passionate about and sadly seeing dissipate before my very eyes, and that is this social backbone and network that is so critical to healthy communities. The other issue that I want to address, and again with the disclaimer that I in no way want to disparage anyone who works for the state, I have friends and have had an overall very positive experience, but I want you to think about this, or I ask you to consider, how much is enough, and are we actually spending what we get wisely? It's easy to grab for money. It's especially easy to fund things like education, more current moves to promote equity and resolve some wrongs of the past. Even infrastructure is a relatively easy sell. No one likes paying taxes, but we all generally benefit or see the value of the contributions taxes make to a safe, a healthy, a robust state.
Ms. I think this the subject of this is the estate tax, not not the spending. So if you could stay on the subject, that would be great.
Okay. Well, so to that point, thank you, Chair, is the right sizing of the I'll just skip it, I suppose. I would welcome the opportunity at some point to share my experience because I think that there are funds to be saved and would appreciate the Revenue Committee's attention to that experience. But basically, my point is that the right sizing of Oregon's estate tax would not create a deficiency that that would be to the detriment of Oregon and its citizenry. I believe that we can do so and have a reasonable right-sized estate tax that maintains a great state that we all enjoy living in.
Thank you. Mr. Skeen is next, Paul Skeen.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you now.
Okay.
Can you see him?
I can't see him.
Okay, hang on.
The line's through. Can you see me now?
No, but that's okay. We can hear you. So there you go. I can see you now.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Paul Skeen. I'm a fifth generation farmer, and I was born in Ontario, Oregon, and I've lived my whole life in Nessa, Malheur County, Oregon. My parents had me late in life, and my father had to retire early because of health problems. I worked for neighbors during the day that allowed me to use some of their equipment to get started without any wages so that I could use their equipment. I've lived a very, I've lived here my whole life and raised my family here for the past 48 years. Starting my 49th year of farming. We worked hard and been blessed to build a sizable farm operation. I applaud Senator Finley and all those who have helped with working on this bill. This will be a tremendous help for homeowners and small business. There are only 13 states. I could probably skip some of that because he's already talked about it, but there are only 13 states that have a death tax. And of course, we're number one. And of those 13, five of them have 5.25 to 6 million. And then the federal tax base is 11.5 million. Of course, that would be doubled if you're married. The people of Oregon have worked hard to leave a legacy to their families, and they've been taxed out of it. We live very conservatively off the profits we produce off our land. It's not like we have access to the value of our land. It has no value until the time of our death, and that is what we want to leave to our children. Oregon is taxing up to 16% after the first 1 million. The new bill will take that up to 4.5 million, and I think that will help a lot of people. After living in the original Skeen family home in the 1940s, 15 years with four kids and one bathroom, you can imagine how that was. We finally were able to save enough money to put a down payment and build a house in 1993 in the middle of one of our farms. We spent years dreaming about planning this home and designing it, and we plan on spending the rest of our lives in this home. It sits, like I say, right in the middle of our whole farm operation. We have worked all these years to leave a farm legacy to our family. On top of that, our holdings, and I'm different than a lot of people. I own, my wife and I own properties in Idaho, and if we die here, they will be taxed in Oregon. If we do not move, the 16% tax asset will have to be sold to pay the taxes. This is not how America's dream is supposed to work. We have 2.5 miles of river frontage along the Snake River, where we are 800 feet away from the freedom from a death tax. I'm being forced to move across the river into Idaho because of the Oregon death tax law. You're losing good, productive families whose stories are just like ours, and we are taking everything except the land with us. Mr. Grant Kitamura, I talked him into submitting a testimony about him moving to Idaho, and he submitted the names of 20 to 30 people from our area that are doing the same thing that we're looking at. I have been been on the board of the Malheur County Onion Growers Association since 1986. I had dark hair and I was thin back then. I've either been the vice president or president for the past 22 years. I'm on defense all the time. That's all I do. It's what I'm doing right now rather than being out on a tractor. I will have to step down when I move to Idaho. I'm already working on purchasing a lot on the Idaho side and will be moving there as part of my estate plan. I encourage you to vote yes on this bill. It will help the majority of families in Oregon. On the other hand, I would like you to realize that you also need to do more to help the farmers and ranchers and business owners who are maybe a little larger than normal. Your rural communities and tax base are going to decrease substantially. NISA is dying. It makes me sick to say it. When I grew up here and graduated from high school, it was a vibrant place. We have no radio station. We get all of our Idaho news. We're on a different time zone. Ms. Peterson, it used to be the chairman of the Economic Border. I applaud all that she has done, and of course, Doug Lamb, and especially Senator Finley. But I feel like we're being left in the dark with no other choice. Senate Majority Leader Kotek has toured Malheur County with my son. I just had a knee operation, so I couldn't take her with me because I couldn't bend my knee good enough to take her. But I have taken Governor Brown twice on a tour around the area. They have seen the firsthand challenges that we face here. Please don't forget us. The one other thing that I guess I would say is the natural resources needs to be up to speed on it. I talked to Congressman Bentz, and he said he put it in 2011, and farm ground has almost doubled since then. Thank you for your time. Appreciate it.
Thank you. And I apologize for the background noise. There's construction going on outside my window. So if you hear pounding and buzzing, that's what it is. I'll try to keep myself on mute as much as I can. Are there questions for either of these panel members? I see none. So thank you very much. And I'm glad you didn't have to travel all the way from Ontario and NISA. Okay, next we'll hear from Anthony Smith. And after that will be Scott Bruhn.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Anthony Smith. I'm the Oregon State Director for the National Federation of Independent Business. We represent thousands of small businesses across the state, many being the smallest of small businesses, with about 90% of our members in Oregon having fewer than 25 employees and 70% having fewer than 10 employees. I'm here today to thank Senator Finley for introducing Senate Bill 15, and also like to express my thanks to the chair for scheduling today's hearing on this important topic. In a recent survey of NFIB members in Oregon, 88% of respondents supported the complete elimination of Oregon's estate tax. This bill takes a different approach, but it's a step in the right direction and hopefully the beginning of a thoughtful dialogue on the subject of estate taxes. The estate tax imposes a disincentive for small and family-owned businesses to grow the net worth of their business over time, especially for businesses that are preparing to pass that family business on to the next generation. The threat of this tax forces small business owners to pay for expensive estate planning if they want to keep the business in the family. Much of the cost of having an estate tax on the books actually occurs before the tax itself is imposed. Nationally, just over a third of NFIB members incurred tax planning expenses in the 5 years leading up to the passage of the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, which doubled the federal exemption threshold. That figure has most likely dropped nationwide, especially for small businesses in states without an estate tax or an inheritance tax, but probably not for NFIB members in Oregon, where we have the lowest exemption threshold in the country. At its worst, the estate tax can tax a family right out of business. While the owner of the estate is responsible for the tax, their heirs are often responsible for the actual payment upon the death of the owner. For estates that are comprised mainly of illiquid assets like land or a building, coming up with the cash to pay the tax can be a major challenge. Another recent challenge for many Oregonians is the scenario I've heard described as the accidental millionaire. This occurs when home and commercial property values rise significantly in the years leading up to the passing of the property owner, perhaps without a plan for paying the estate tax, leaving family members in a pinch while at the same time grieving the loss of a loved one. We need to have a meaningful conversation about estate tax reform in Oregon before we see more and more middle-class families caught up in an estate tax situation they might not be prepared for, or perhaps even worse, if lifelong Oregonians decide to spend their retirement years in neighboring states that don't have an estate tax, which most certainly has a negative impact on state revenues and our economy when people with money to spend leave the state. Wrapping up, NFIB encourages the committee to support Senate Bill 15, and we're ready to work with all interested legislators and stakeholders to make our state more hospitable for hardworking Oregonians looking to pass the family business on from generation to generation. Thank you for the opportunity to testify today. I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you very much. Are there questions for Mr. Smith? I see no questions, so we will move on to Scott Brune. And after him will be Stuart Allen and Linda Navarro.
Great, thank you, Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, and members of the committee. Good afternoon, my name is Scott Bruin, and I'm the Director of Tax and Fiscal Policy for Oregon Business and Industry. OBII is a member-led business trade association. We have about 1,600 members, which employ more than 330,000 Oregonians. And thank you for the opportunity to testify today. OBII strongly supports Senate Bill 15. Current Oregon law only exempts $1 million of estate value. Our understanding is that SB 15 would create an additional exemption of $1.5 million for estates valued up to $4.5 million, and then progressively reduce the amount for estates valued up to $8.5 million, at which point the additional exemption goes away entirely. In other words, this bill is specifically targeted to assist small businesses and small farm estates. While OBI supports the full repeal of the estate tax, we believe Senate Bill 15 is a significant step in the right direction. Oregon, as you've heard, is only one of a handful of states with an estate tax, and at $1 million has the lowest threshold in the nation for when the tax first takes effect. This is particularly onerous for Oregon farmers and small businesses, as even the smallest farms and businesses can easily accumulate $1 million in value. In fact, according to the Legislative Revenue Office's 2020 Oregon Public Finance Basic Facts, 83% of the Oregon estate tax returns filed in 2017 were for taxable estates of less than $2.5 million. Given the low existing estate tax exemption in Oregon, it's easy to understand how small business owners may be incentivized to relocate to other states, or how other businesses may be discouraged from starting operations in Oregon in the first place. This is further exacerbated by the fact that Oregon's overall business tax burden will increase 41% between 2019 and 2020. Oregon's current estate tax law not only leads to a loss or suppression of jobs here in Oregon, but also a related loss of income, payroll, and other tax revenues as well. This is significant because the amount of revenue collected by the state through the estate tax is such a small part of the state's revenue collected each year, roughly only 2%. The state should not trade a small amount of estate tax revenue for a much larger amount of potential income and payroll tax revenue. For all of these reasons, Madam Chair, OBI supports SB 15 and urges the committee to pass this important legislation. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Bruin? I see no questions. Thank you. Next, we will take Stuart Allen.
Thank you, Senator Burdick. My name is Stuart Allen, and I'm here. I'm the president and CEO of Allen Trust Company. We're a trust-only bank. And I'm right now in Portland, Oregon, downtown, and we've been operating for 20 years. I'm also current president of the Association of Trust Organizations. We're a national trade organization that goes from coast to coast. I'm also on the estate planning section of the bar. I have three kids, and I'm a native Oregonian. It seems like the estate, this is probably the fifth time I've testified on certain bills, I've written bills and helped out with the Bank Act. Every single session, it seems like there is an estate tax bill that comes before the committee. Let me give you a little bit about my background. It kind of ties in with the previous testimony. I've had a job since I was 9 years old, had a paper route. I worked construction. I changed irrigation pipes. I made construction circles. I pitched watermelons, and I've driven a swather. And Senator Burdick, I actually live in your district, and I'm just across the border from Rob Wagner's district. So I have a little bit of a perspective from there. I continued on as a kid to Blue Mountain Community College for 1 year, went on to University of Oregon and finished with a degree in political science and finance. And then after 5 years, paid off my student loans and went to law school. First time I was airplanes, age 23, but I've since then lived abroad in two countries and traveled over 50 countries. So I have a little bit of perspective. I can really relate to a lot of people. I speak blue collar and I run a successful business. I'm very proud that I'm able to feed a lot of people's families and a lot of the food from Eastern Oregon, the people that grow it out there. My company does, it's the intersection of tax, investments, financial planning, estate planning. And this bill is a middle-class bill. This bill is a working families bill. As you've talked about, Mr. Lamb talked about, it's a one-time tax and we're giving away a lot on the income tax. I completely 100% support that. I think that's very important in this analysis. Let me read to you let me give you some scale on the estate tax as it relates to other states. Connecticut, 7.1 million. District of Columbia, 4 million. Hawaii is over 5.5 million. Illinois, Senator Riley's old stomping grounds, 4 million. Maine, 5.8 million. Maryland, 5 million. Minnesota, 3 million. New York is 5.8 million. New York. Rhode Island, 1.5. Vermont, 5 million. And of course, Washington's a little over 2.2 million. Think about Connecticut. Connecticut's makeup is a Democratic governor and almost a supermajority. If you look online and look at the makeup of Connecticut's House of Representatives and Senate, they're almost exactly, they mirror Oregon. However, in 2017, the legislatures was in the process of completely abolishing the estate tax that they used to have. Like I said, today at 7.1, they're going to completely abolish it. I think that's absolutely compelling. President Obama signed legislation that increased the federal exemption from 5.5 million to 11.2. Now it's up to 11.7 because it's because of inflation. The fiscal impact statement. The fiscal impact statement only focuses on the estate tax. It does not really look over the wall and look at the ongoing annual revenues every time. So I think that's absolutely compelling. And, you know, in Oregonian, I'm a very proud Oregonian. I grew up here my whole life. We listen to each other. And I please the committee, this is a middle-class bill. People are drowning. Relationships sour when people don't listen. Individuals get a divorce, and Oregonians are getting a divorce from Oregon. But instead of like fighting over the kids or the assets, you just look over your neighbor's house and the lights are gone in the morning. There's no obligation to tell anybody. They're just going to leave. Thank you for your support of this bill. Please support it.
Thank you. Questions for Mr. Allen? See no questions. So, Linda Navarro.
Am I pulled up and ready? Okay, good afternoon, Chair Burdick, Vice Good afternoon, Chair Burdick and members of the committee. My name is Linda Navarro. I'm the president and CEO of the Oregon Bankers Association. We represent state and national FDIC-insured banks and trust companies like Allen Trust Company doing business in the state of Oregon. I want to thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of Senate Bill 15. We appreciate your willingness to look at Oregon's outdated and anti-competitive estate tax. I also want to acknowledge the excellent testimony already presented, especially the real-world examples in Ontario and Mr. Skeen's compelling story. I'm here today not because banks and trust companies are directly paying these taxes, but because Oregon's banks and trust companies have a unique vantage point into the decisions Oregonians and Oregon businesses make for tax purposes, especially when they relocate for reasons like escaping our onerous estate tax. That's not necessarily known to be the reason by any reporting or state records, but I can tell you bankers very much know that's the reason, and they talk about it often at our meetings. They talk about out-migration and specifically out-migration related to the estate tax. So based on these observations, we really believe it's past time for Oregon to update our outdated estate tax, if not outright eliminate it. As has been stated by Senator Finley and others, Oregon is one of only 10 or 11 states with an estate tax, and ours is the most onerous, with that exemption threshold being 11 times lower than the federal individual exemption. It's also, as has been noted, the only estate tax in our region of the country, aside from Washington, which has that $2.2 million exemption, so more than double Oregon's. Even California doesn't have a death tax. This matters because these residents and small businesses, as you've heard, when they relocate, they take considerable assets with them. These assets, of course, reduce the estate tax that they pay, but also that income tax that's been noted, other local taxes. And I want to note that it eliminates, in many cases, their contributions to their community in the way of philanthropy and other economic activity. Not all people who migrate outside of Oregon are leaving for a 5 mile away town across the Oregon-Idaho border. They may be relocating to California or Arizona or Washington or any number of places, and with them goes their contributions to our economy and our communities. We believe Oregon should eliminate the estate tax or at least substantially raise the exemption threshold and lower the rates paid. But even more modest improvements like those proposed in Senate Bill 15 or even like getting close to Washington's $2.2 million exemption would really improve Oregon's competitiveness and avoid hitting this tax hitting those who aren't the wealthiest Oregonians and who don't have the sophisticated resources and tax planning strategies in place. For example, as you've heard, many Oregonians today will accumulate over $1 million in assets through their small business activity, home appreciation, and the like. And when a death occurs, it's difficult for these folks, average folks to transfer assets to the next generation without liquidating them, since they're hit with a tax bill from the state, and there may not be much cash associated with the estate with which to pay that bill. Also, Oregon, as you've heard, already has a natural resource exemption for the estate tax, and I do wonder why there wouldn't be a similar type of relief for other small business owners. With regard to Senate Bill 15, the proposal, as I said, does improve the tax impact for many filers. We personally would caution against eliminating the exemption altogether for other filers, as is proposed in this bill, and would welcome the opportunity to work on an amendment in that direction if there was an interest in doing so. But in closing, I'd just like to share something. Kiplinger, which is a well-known publication on financial matters, it periodically releases reports on estate taxes across the country, and we've watched these reports for years. They just released in January of this year a new report on states with what they call, quote, the scary death taxes. And with regard to Oregon, they concluded that, and this is a direct quote, The Beaver State is the most frightening place in the U.S. to die if you're concerned about estate taxes. Oregon has resisted the trend to raise estate tax exemption or even adjust it for inflation. The state's estate tax still kicks in for estates valued at as little as $1 million. In addition, it also imposes a relatively high 10% tax rate on even the smallest of qualifying states. We urge you to modernize or even eliminate Oregon's estate tax. It disincentivizes business investment, drives higher net worth people out of the state, and it is a very hard hit on those inheriting a family home or a small business without means to pay the state's estate tax. So thank you for hearing us out, and I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, Linda. You mentioned an amendment applying to some exemption. Can you tell me what, I kind of missed what you were saying there.
Okay, Senator Burdick, you know, perhaps Senator Finley can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding in the bill is that for a little bit larger estates, there's actually a reduction from the current $1 million exemption down. That I'm misreading it. Okay, in which case you can scrap what I said and I lend our support to the bill fully. Senator Finley, I'm sorry if I got that wrong. I did a quick read and I may have misunderstood.
Madam Chair, if I could help her, I would be happy to if you would allow me.
Please do, Senator Finley.
So thank you, Linda. The $1 million, the current $1 million exemption is left untouched. There's an add-on to it of 1.5 for estates from up to 9.5. So, but the 1 million is constant and it's untouched. What this bill introduces is an add-on to that of 1.5 for estates in addition to the 1 million for under $4.5 million.
Thank you very much, Senator.
But thanks anyhow. I appreciate your help.
And thank you, Chair Burdick.
Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. Glad we cleared that up. Okay, our next witness is Benton Minton, followed by Daniel Hauser. Bennett.
Well, for the first time, I think I'm on screen, am I?
You are.
You can actually see me.
I can do.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, thank you for the opportunity. My name is Bennett Minton. And I appear on behalf of Tax Fairness Oregon, a network of volunteers who advocate for a rational and equitable tax code. I have noted to this committee that I spent my paid career analyzing policy in Congress, mostly taxes. I watched as the estate tax shrank from a measure intended to ensure America didn't have a hereditary aristocracy to a provision that barely touches anyone. In 1997, the federal unified credit for the estate, gift, and generation-skipping transfer tax was $600,000. Today, it's $23 million for couples. This is, I suggest, a gift of the baby boomers, of which I am a late member, who went to college for free and fought in or against the Vietnam War. As parents, we bought minivans and shrank state support for education, and then, as our parents aged, ensured we wouldn't have to pay any tax on our parents' wealth. And yet here we are considering legislation to shrink further the minuscule tax on the money mommy and daddy leave behind. LRO's Basic Facts, issued in January, reports that 1,443 Oregonians owed any estate tax for the most recent year. Another 572 filed estate returns but paid no tax because their assets were below the exemption. To put that in context, about 37,000 Oregonians died in 2019, so not quite 4% of their estates owed any tax. Simple math suggests that 96% of them have no personal stake in the subject. I don't doubt that some residents move to Idaho or Washington so that they won't be subject to the estate tax. On the other hand, these stories are mixed up with those of potential immigrants who own farms. Of course, the farms are staying, and they receive treatment under the natural resources credit. Opponents note that most other states have followed the federal lead and reduced or eliminated the estate tax, and they urge you to join the race to the bottom. Yes, until 2001, every state taxed estates. Now 12 do, and 6 taxing inheritances, which is a more sensible method since the deceased don't actually pay taxes. Yes, government policies change. What has gone down will eventually go up, because the estate tax is one of the fairest ever created. Personally, which is to say anecdotally, I do not choose my place of residence based on whether my kids have to pay a bit of my gold to fund the purposes for which we have taxation, education, for example. After all, my kids did nothing to earn it, just as I did nothing to earn the money I received from my parents, other than stay on reasonably good terms with them. Had they died in Oregon, I would have gotten a little less. Some parents may choose otherwise. Either way, policy should not be guided by anecdotal choices affecting a tiny number of residents. The point is, Oregon's estate tax raises a couple of $100 million, 2% or so of the general fund. What services will be cut or taxes raised to offset the revenue loss? Over the last 25 years, I have yet to hear a single person who decried the estate tax ever discuss those questions. To Senator Finley's bill, which would increase the exemption amount for estates under $4.5 million, this is the upper end of the middle class, people who've worked, funded a 401k, and built a bit of wealth. My kids would benefit from it, and their father did nothing exceptional to acquire his wealth. As my financial advisor told my son, if you fund your IRA or 401k, you will become a millionaire, thanks to the magic of compounding. I appreciate Senator Finley's interest. As I told him in a gracious conversation we had a couple of weeks ago, if the bill were adjusted to phase out the exemption at the top or raise the top rate so that not one additional dime of revenue went to the inheritors, then we, Tax Fairness Oregon, would have no objection to it. Or if Oregonians rid their constitution of irrational and counterproductive constraints on the legislature's ability to raise the revenue that serves all of Oregon, including its eastern border, then an increase in the exemption might be reasonable. Deciding of exemptions in other states lacks the context of their respective tax codes. Absent a change in Senator Finley's bill or the Oregon Constitution, we would prefer that you retain our limited revenue on behalf of children whose parents are more likely to leave them funeral bills than trust funds. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Daniel Hauser, and then we'll take questions for this panel.
Chair Burdick, Vice Chair Boquist, if you've been able to connect on, and members of the committee, my name is Daniel Hauser. I use he, him pronouns. I'm a policy analyst for the Oregon Center for Public Policy. I'm submitting this testimony in defense of Oregon's estate tax and in opposition to Senate Bill 15. At a time of extreme and record-breaking economic inequality, a strong estate tax is essential. The estate tax only applies to the wealthiest Oregonians and serves to limit an economic aristocracy from capturing more of our state's wealth. The inheritance received by heirs is not a result of hard work or invention. It's a prize for being born to one of a small number of the state's richest families. And there are three primary reasons to retain and protect Oregon's estate tax. The first is adequate resources, as Mr. Minton noted. Cutting Oregon's estate tax, as Senate Bill 15 would do, pulls important resources out of Oregon's general fund. The overall estate tax is expected to raise about $476 million in the current budget period. It's not clear yet how much Senate Bill 15 would reduce these revenues. However, these funds are needed to boost economic opportunity for all Oregonians through investments in affordable housing, workforce development, and other important services. We should prioritize investments in services working families need, not a tax cut for wealthiest states. The second reason is racial equity. The Oregon estate tax is one of the state's most effective tax policies for improving racial equity. Due to policies and practices both past and present, white families largely own the nation's largest fortunes. Nationally, the median white household owns nearly 8 times the wealth of the median Black household and more than 5 times the wealth of the median Hispanic household. 6 in 10 U.S. households are white non-Hispanic. Yet 9 in 10 households that would be expected to pay the federal estate tax are white. Legislation to reduce Oregon's estate tax would only deepen wealth disparities between Oregonians of color and white Oregonians. And I'll maybe just put a slightly more fine point on this to share some data that I think was confused a little bit earlier in the conversation. This legislation will not help the middle class because they already are not touched by Oregon's estate tax. Right, according to the U.S. Federal Reserve's most recent survey of consumer finances, the median net worth nationally is $122,000. Right? That is far from $1 million, and that's the median household worth. If we look at those that are just 75 or older, who might be more likely to move or threaten as such prior to death, they have an average estate of $255,000. So still barely over a quarter of what our current threshold is set at. And then if we, again, bring this back to the racial disparities, Black non-Hispanic Americans have average wealth of $24,000, right? Our current threshold is $1 million. They're nowhere near, on average, in a spot to benefit from this. So I'll just end by noting that, you know, I think Bennett used more recent data than I had around the share of estates that are impacted by this. It's less than 5% year over year that we see that estates are impacted by Oregon's estate tax. These are the richest 5 out of every 100 Oregonians. Conflating them with the middle class, I think, is unhelpful. And these are people who, after using the natural resource credit, after charitable contributions, gifts to family members, and the litany of other tax planning options that I'm sure our prior speakers are very effective at utilizing, Oregon's estate tax is already well targeted at the very richest estates, since the marginal tax rate grows from 10% up to 16% as the size of the estate grows. Senate Bill 15 undermines Oregon's commitment to adequately fund important services, advance racial equity, and improve the progressivity of our tax and revenue system. We respectfully urge this committee to protect Oregon's estate tax and reject Senate Bill 15. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any questions of Mr. Minton or Mr. Hauser? Okay, I see no questions. Senator Finley, did you want to make any closing remarks?
Madam Chair, thank you so much. In the interest of time, no, I appreciate your having a hearing today, and I appreciate the witnesses. Thank you.
Thank you. Okay, well, that completes our hearing. We have no one else signed up. And Chris, are we done for the day?
Yes, you are, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Chris. So I will close the public hearing on Senate Bill 15, and we are adjourned.
Thank you.